When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Here we are in the lost city of LOJ. It's the Lori and Julia show on a Thursday afternoon. Julia's Friday.
I know.
She's going to go out strong here. This is going to be a good hour for you. I can feel it.
I can feel it, too.
Yeah.
It's always fun when a Thursday's Friday.
Yes.
It really is. Okay, so what do we know?
Well, we know that 74 years ago today, Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier and became the first black man to play in MLB history.
Yep.
And we also got the news that Netflix is giving Chadwick Boseman the documentary special treatment later this. It'll air on this Saturday. And be available for a limited 30 days. And basically, they've put together, and we posted the trailer. You know, of course, Chadwick Boseman, you know, playing so many amazing real-life people in some of his movies. So it's just basically people who've worked with him. So it's the guy who directed Chadwick and Marshall talking about
okay.
it. It's the Brian, the director of 42, the Jackie Robinson
yep.
movie. A co-star and one of the directors from Black Panther, Viola Davis,
yep.
who starred with him in Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, Spike Lee, who directed him in Five Bloods, and I think Tate Taylor, who directed him in Get On Up, the James Brown biopic.
Right.
So talking about him and just like the fact that he would play four really influential real-life people, not to mention this, you know, instant legend, Wakanda Forever, T'Challa,
mm-hmm.
and Felicia Rashad, because she worked with him
on
something.
Yep.
Branford Marsalis, who did all the music for Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. So it's going to be a sad thing, but it's a way just to honor him, look at him, and make sure that the Oscar voters vote for him.
Basically,
yeah,
right.
too. It's a
right.
it's a good thing. But people are just talking about working with him and what he brought to movies, because every single movie, even that movie he was in, the bridge or the tunnel in the bridge.
I don't know.
It was kind of a detective movie, and I feel like he might have done it. Even that movie was really quite good, like edge of your seat. So he just didn't do anything. He was so good.
He was so good. All right, so
so that link is posted.
Okay, got it.
21 Bridges.
21 Bridges.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
He was like you couldn't take your eyes off of him. He's so good.
He was.
Stop texting your date tonight.
I'm not. I'm looking at IMDb for other uh-huh. movies that he was in, because I was trying to think of the year that we met him.
Don't try and tell
SAG
us
Awards.
That you're not making date plans tonight.
I am on IMDb right
okay.
here, you
all
little
right.
creep. Okay, so, all right, so Cindy Adams, whose name has been erased from the masthead of the New York Post. Now, she has worked there forever in the gossip world, and we have noticed her unbelievably snarkiness in the past year and a half to 2 years.
Andy Cohen says she's flat out nuts.
Yeah, I believe
and
it.
He says she's the meanest woman in New York yeah. City.
And she's been in studio here with Little Lucky, or what was the name of her
Jazzy.
Dog? Jazzy. She was, her and Barbara Walters would travel together all the time. We have read her for other forever, but her name is gone from
She
page
snubbed
six.
Us badly at the Australia red carpet
yes,
in New
she
York
did.
City.
After we had met her.
After we'd met her in person. And she looked at us studio. Like we were dog poo on
yep.
her shoe.
Life with Jazzy. Yeah. She was married to Joey Bishop. She had a really interesting upbringing. She was a fascinating woman, but you could tell through her writings over the past, 2 years or so that she just is off the wall, but sometimes so snarky great. Okay, so today we heard that the Gucci family members are concerned over the portrayal of their family in the upcoming movie that Adam Driver and Lady Gaga are filming right now.
House of Gucci.
Thank you. And so what?
And it's Ridley Scott directing Adam Driver and Lady Gaga. So you know this movie's going to be good.
Right. So one of Maurizio's second cousins, Maurizio's the one that was murdered by his wife that mm-hmm. Lady Gaga's playing, Patricia Gucci, is worried the film goes beyond the headline-grabbing true crime story and pries into the private lives of the Gucci heirs. And she says, "We're truly disappointed. I speak on behalf of the family. They're stealing our identity of a family to make a profit, to increase the income of the Hollywood system. Our family has an identity privacy. We can talk about everything, but there is a borderline what cannot be crossed." So further looking into why
the family's so upset.
So upset.
The heirs of Gucci or Gucci. Yeah.
They no longer own Gucci. They sold Gucci to a company in 1995.
So the guy who gets murdered, played by Adam Driver, he sells the Gucci company to this
yes.
other big company
yes.
for a bunch of money.
Yes,
and
he does.
The Gucci, that's been a long time.
A long time ago.
And okay. then he gets killed like 4 years later.
Yes.
By his ex-wife, who
and
hires
the Gucci
a hitman.
People were dirty, mean to each other, according to Cindy Adams. But I want to tell you why okay. the second cousin of the man that was murdered is so upset.
Mm-hmm.
This is what she goes on to say. She said, and it's based on a book, Gucci, the True. She wrote a book, Gucci in 2015, The True Story of a Successful Dynasty. This Patricia wrote. In 2015. But
is she the ex-wife who paid?
No, she's the second cousin.
Okay.
Who's upset how the family's being portrayed via the photos. Here's what she's upset about. "My grandfather was a very handsome man, like all the Guccis, a very tall, blue-eyed, and very elegant. He is being portrayed by Al Pacino, who is not very tall already, and this photo shows him as fat, short, with sideburns, really ugly. Shameful, because he doesn't resemble him at all." Okay, then she goes on to say about Jared Leto, who's playing Paolo Gucci. And he's shown with unkempt hair in a lilac corduroy suit, not at all in line with what his daughter's recollection are of her father. And she says, "Horrible, horrible. I still feel offended." So she is all upset that they don't look good. The people that are starring as her family members aren't good looking enough.
Yeah.
And so the Gucci family has not been involved in the Gucci fashion house since 1993 when he sold his, Maurizio sold the remaining stake of Gucci to a Buran-based company, Investicorp. And it was later bought by the French group PPR, which is now Kering, which I believe has something to do with Salma Hayek's husband.
He's the CEO over
yes.
that whole
Yes,
thing.
It used to be LMVH, yeah. blah, 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 but now it's Kering, and
they own Gucci.
Yeah, and Selma Hayek also has a role in this upcoming movie. Mm-hmm. And how they got access to all the archives is they own the brand.
Right,
so
the clothes.
So there we go. But I love that she's just so appalled because my dad was handsome, and now Jared Leto looks unkempt. And my great uncle, he was such a handsome, tall man, and this short, fat, ugly old man is playing him.
Well, this House funny. Of Gucci is based on a book called The House of Gucci, a sensational story of murder, madness, glamour, and greed. So that's the source material
right?
for the book. And Ridley Scott and the producers of the movie have not talked to anyone in the Gucci family, nor do they plan to, nor do they need to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then what Cindy Adams
what
wrote in
say?
Her story is that Lady Gaga's film Gucci about blah, basically, she said the Gucci family was Italy's equivalent of the modern Demichis. I knew some of the players. In the 1990s, I reported this founder, a waiter who went into the leather business, had two sons, then those sons had sons. With such money at stake, they hated and despised each other. When Maurizio was shot dead in Milan, Nobody knew who done it. Nobody suffered from it either. Heiress Patricia Gucci, who sued, was divorcing her husband who was murdered at the time. She told Cindy Adams, "I did not expect he'd be killed, but I'm not surprised. He had many enemies." She was subsequently convicted of orchestrating his assassination.
Right.
And then she just goes on to say that they have a glamorous name, but they were a hideous group of human beings. Do I think it's an accident? No. A mistake? No. The mafia? No. Someone who knew him killed him? Yes. They were horrible people.
It was the ex-wife.
And the son of one of the people turned in his grandfather in America for income tax evasion. And his grandfather went to jail. So it's a very...
goodness.
Family didn't like each other. The siblings, the kids, nobody liked each other.
All that money.
All that money.
What a great name, Guccio Gucci. Isn't that a great name?
That's good.
I mean, the Italians really are so great. You know, they really get the... they like to... that's a Guccio Gucci.
It is. It's a really good one.
It's a great name.
Yeah. So it's good. I think that's going to be a really good movie.
Same.
Yeah.
It looks same. Good. Okay. Did you see Brad Pitt leaving a Beverly Hills medical center out the front door in a wheelchair?
They said he had dental work done and he was under the influence of laughing gas.
Okay. But no back door. Why did he want to be seen?
As an old man in a wheelchair?
Right. Because, who knows what he had done.
That divorce still isn't settled yet.
No, I know it.
Mm-hmm.
Here's one thing. When I looked over the list of the people who are the Oscar presenters, you know, based on the little film that
that the producers did, one of the very first pictures is A-Rod and J-Lo.
Oh, they're going to be re-editing.
I don't think so.
They'll take it out.
Not that they were going to be there together presenting, but they're shown as glamorous people on the red carpet.
They can easily take that out. Can. Okay. So Brad Pitt, you know, he won last year for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood supporting actor. So anyone who won last year is automatically there.
As a presenter.
Right. But they did announce that Marley Matlin was going to present. And I bet you anything, she does something for The Sound of Metal. And right. I hope that she and Riz Ahmed are on stage together and they present in American Sign Language.
I hope so. That'd be super cool.
Yeah. Because Rocco saw that movie, but you haven't.
I have.
Oh, you saw it, but Rocco didn't.
Rocco, that's a good movie.
Rocco has not been assigned to that movie.
I need to keep track of my
Bridget
assignment.
Bridget Jones' Diary, Funny Lady, Funny Girl.
He doesn't listen to anything.
The Sex and the City episode.
Yeah, he doesn't listen to us. In that respect, you're just like Donnie, and good for you,
thank
Rocco.
You
can't just be letting us boss you around right
thank
and left.
You.
So I don't know what Brad was doing, but he meant to be seen.
Okay.
Which is strange.
Very.
You know? Because
well,
there's back doors.
The divorce is not final.
Yeah, I know.
That divorce, whenever it's going to... Oh, it's time for the Dirt
Alert. It's time for the Dirt Alert. We'll be right back.
This is a My Talk Dirt Alert.
Dirt Alert, Dirt Alert, Dirt Alert, Dirt Alert, Dirt Alert, Dirt Alert.
Well, I'll say it.
Holly! Okay. Hi, Rocco!
Hi!
Hi, Lori and Julia!
Welcome greetings.
Welcome greetings to this Friday Eve Dirt Alert.
Yes.
We're going to talk about Dr. Dre's divorce because this story, we've been following this for quite some time. Well, the latest development in the divorce between Dr. Dre and his estranged wife, Nicole Young, is that a judge has ruled that Dr. Dre's divorce attorneys, Laura Wasser and Howard King, can't represent him in his split from Nicole Young.
Why?
Well,
because Laura's so busy with representing Brad Pitt.
Kim Kardashian et al. Well, Nicole Young and her attorney argued in court papers that Howard King, one of Dr. Dre's attorneys, could not rule. So they're saying that he had previously repped Dr. Dre and Nicole Young throughout their marriage. So being like, hey, this guy repped both of us in this divorce case, so he cannot represent Dr. Dre solely. And Laura Wasser was vicariously disqualified from representing Dr. Dre because she was working with Howard King.
Whoa, damn. Dr. Dre's estranged ex-wife has got a good lawyer.
Yes, and that attorney is named Samantha Spector.
Oh, she represented Angelina.
So there you go. they're very familiar with each other in court. I bet they're quite chummy with each other in certain aspects. So Nicole Young's lawyer, Samantha Spector, has been trying to disqualify Howard King and Laura Wasser from the case since Nicole Young claimed that Howard King has acted as she and Dre's family lawyer since the couple was engaged.
Wow. All right.
Yeah. So who knows who Dr. Dre...
All these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday, so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
Is going to have represent him in divorce court now, because I mean, that's a pretty big blow to his side.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, having Laura Wasser
and
Howard
King. Nicole.
Yeah, so they were married, just setting the table again, that Dr. Dre and Nicole Young married for about 24 years. They split in 2020. He's reportedly worth $800 million.
And he had like three Beckys couple of them had babies.
Oh.
I mean, how much can a wife look the other way?
Yeah. There are limits. Sharon Osbourne is going to give her first interview following her departure from The Talk on Friday. So she's going to go on Bill Maher, on Real Time with Bill Maher. So
yes,
she's going to be in studio. It's going to be happening at the beginning of the episode, and then there'll be a panel discussion per usual on Real Time with Bill Maher. So they're going to have a one-on-one
sit-down. Really hate, because Sharon Osbourne created this situation for herself. She could have avoided losing her job by either supporting Pierce in private, by being a better person, or simply not acting like a damn fool on national television.
Mm-hmm.
This is all of her making.
Yep.
So if you are curious and you want to see Sharon Osbourne,
I'm watching,
and Bill Maher talk, it's going to be Friday, 9 p.m. on HBO, and you can stream it on HBO Max as well.
Okay.
So I don't know if there's a little delay in the streaming, but it's happening this weekend.
I got HBO. I will watch it Saturday morning, and I'll probably send out an angry tweet to the universe.
Oh, we can't wait.
Yes!
I'm not watching it.
Julie's like,
you don't have HBO
at my cabin.
Oh okay.
I do at home.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, just sit that one out. Now I know you guys talked about this at 3:15 and throughout the show, the official breakup of Alex Rodriguez and Jennifer Lopez. Well, you can't find that Fix You video anymore on Rodriguez's Instagram account.
Right.
Did you guys see it?
Yes, it was so bad.
Yeah.
It was so painful.
Oh, well, you know, in case you missed it, you listen to the replay at 3:15. Lori and Julie, you guys do a fantastic job of breaking it down. Well, one of these things that you guys were talking Alex Rodriguez posting an emotional video of his memories with Jennifer Lopez.
But he did it last night.
Oh, and yeah, set to the song Fix You.
By Coldplay. It's
the secondhand embarrassment. I wanted to watch it.
It's embarrassing.
It's especially listening to the words, because it's trying to make it sound like he did nothing wrong. And I'm sure he just got flamed by comments because he was doing the most to get her to forgive him.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we can no longer see that very special moment. I'm sure that somebody on the internet has captured it for your secondhand embarrassment pleasure.
Yeah.
And now the update on Page Six exclusively is that Madison LaCroix is talking about the breakup.
She was Becky with the good hair for A-Rod.
For J-Lo. A-Rod.
Yeah. And so, you know what? This is breaking news across the wire in our world, it is. And she wishes the best for Alex Rodriguez and Jennifer Lopez.
Oh, that is so shady.
Yep.
Good for you, Madison, because now people remember you're the Becky with the good hair in this situation.
Yeah, so she's making that statement exclusively to Page Six.
Oh, my gosh. J-Lo, no one. Oh, she cannot be happy about that.
Madison LaCroix had previously remained mum last month when Alex Rodriguez and Jennifer Lopez were in the process of splitting. And now she's just sending her well wishes. So
right. Oh my God. Because she was the one who had
Alex Rodriguez had contacted her.
She's kind of the one that broke them up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that we DM'd.
Not really. He broke them up.
Right.
But
she was the final straw. Because I think A-Rod has been cheating left and right on her.
Yeah. Well, and Madison LaCroix had previously told Page Six that, quote, he never physically cheated on his fiance with me.
Right.
So that kind of leaves a lot of room for interpretation.
Yeah.
What is physical and what isn't?
Well, phone sex with your own hand looking in a screen is not cheating, Julia. Don't you know that? Come on.
Honestly.
And also, too, Page Six's source kind of throwing Minnesota under the bus.
Oh, tell us.
Well, with that report saying that essentially it was Alex Rodriguez's decision to move forward with the purchase of the Minnesota Timberwolves that was the true signal to Jennifer Lopez
that they
needed to break
and
up.
And she would never want to come to Minnesota.
Yes.
Basically what it says, because remember, we're the flyover state and now we are the flyover state.
Yeah, well, that's A-Rod's people trying to get him... so that we know that J-Lo, it took him a month to break up and get all their business deals. And he tried to do one last thing. And I guess she gets to keep the ring. But it's got nothing to do with the Timberwolves. Well, they were breaking up.
Exactly. Because the source telling Page Six, quote, it was clear that they had split when she wasn't in the Timberwolves deal like she was in the Mets bid. Maybe she didn't want to move to Minnesota.
Isn't that something?
A-Rod isn't moving to Minnesota.
No one's moving here. We're already assuming he's going to move the team.
Yeah.
Sad.
No,
We hope not.
This is a surprise to nobody that they broke up. It just, you know.
No.
Not at all. We all said this was going to happen in about a month. 3, 2, 1.
Right.
Yep.
And like clockwork.
And your theory is...
Whatever you do, don't Google UFO today because
I saw this.
The Pentagon yesterday confirmed that the leaked footage of the pyramid-shaped UFOs is real. And it was newly leaked video of flashing triangle-shaped objects that flew over a U.S. naval ship.
Yes.
The Pentagon said, yes, indeed. It's a Las Vegas-based reporter who's covered UFO stories for decades, and he leaked it, and the leaks include a night vision video at sea, a series of grainy infrared images, smartphone photos captured from the cockpit of an F-18 fighter, which had been posted previously online, and the Pentagon confirmed in a statement this week that the leaked photos and videos were captured by the U.S. Navy personnel, but declined them to label them as unidentified aerial phenomenon, UAPs, which is the government's official term for a UFO.
They just
confirmed it was taken by Navy personnel.
Okay,
but we're not saying what it is.
It looked interesting. It looked like it was bigger than a star, bigger than a planet falling from the sky. I mean, it looked like it had a shape and it had like a blinking light on it. It looked like the USS Starship Enterprise.
Yeah.
Rocco, did you see it?
I just Googled it now, yeah.
Oh, no. It looked like it was something.
Yeah. So
I saw it and I'm like, okay, now where are we going with this now?
But the Pentagon, it's misleading if you see a headline that says they're confirming the existence. They're confirming
the release of a photo of something.
They're confirming that the video and photos were shared at with the Office of Naval Intelligence by U.S. Navy, both a ship and a pilot.
Got it.
An F-18.
It's just made
the UFO people just go crazy. But interesting to know that the government calls them UAPs. So if you want to get with the program, I don't know if UAP will ever take over for UFO.
I don't either. I'm going to stay with UFOs.
Yeah. An unidentified aerial phenomena or an unidentified flying object.
Object. I like that better.
Yeah. We're more Jetson.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So,
but it did look.
So, yes.
It looked like it could be something.
Oh, people are going crazy.
Oh, God.
And apparently they have to release everything. There's something in the COVID bill that somebody snuck in. That
UAPs?
Yes. And that's by hysterical. June 25th, it has to be shared with the public.
That's hysterical.
Yeah. So anyway, I mean, do you guys know or care if we ever confirm if there's life out there, Rocco?
I'm pretty sure there must be, right?
And do you care to find out?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, do you hope it's in your lifetime?
Yeah.
You do?
Maybe they'll come and fix all our problems.
I'm open to I've decided that...
Julia,
Is she gone?
No.
Oh, she's back. No, she's throwing stuff. She's taking off her clothes. She's taking off her shoes. She's lifting weights.
I'm trying to see if I can move my knee in a different direction.
We need the camera on now, but too late.
You should see the mess. I feel like Pigpen over here. Okay, wait. Do I care? Here's why I care.
Okay.
It'd be something fun and exciting.
Yeah.
It'd be fun.
Yeah.
It'd be fun to see what it looks like inside those spaceships.
Really?
Yeah, you know. Right. I'm not getting in one.
Right.
Never say never, but I really am afraid of heights that high. I'm afraid of jumping from planet to planet.
Oh, so...
I just don't see that in my... No desire.
Yeah.
Anyway. But I think it could be something different. What the hell? I'm more open to it now than I ever have
been. Well, a first of its kind report is going to be released this summer.
So, for all you
UFOers or UPers, this is your summer of spacecraft. We're going to get something. We're going to find out something. It could be totally
coached.
This is
your summer of spacecraft.
Yeah, that's right. It's happening.
Everything weird that can possibly happen is going to happen, all right?
Okay. In Bot We Trust, researchers at the University of Georgia said whether we realize it or not, algorithms are making more and more of the daily decisions in people's lives.
And I think I even heard that we trust them more than we trust humans.
That is correct, Julia.
Yeah, and that to me is just wrong.
And here's... one of the simple ways that they showed how people trust the machine more than a person, including themselves, even with a simple math problem, people will go to their calculator on their phone.
That's been happening forever. Yeah.
Right. But they're saying that's where it kind of all started, even though you could do the math, 36 minus 12.
Mm-hmm.
You're
too lazy. People are lazy. Our brains are getting lazier. I think our brains.
Is that the theory?
With a smartphone, you don't have to think. You don't have to. You don't have to spend time doing research. It's all right there. You just ask a question. Voila.
Well, here's what the University of Georgia said. Algorithms they do such a huge number of tasks, and the number of tasks they do is expanding practically every day. It seems like there's a bias towards leaning more heavily on algorithm as something gets harder and the effect is stronger than the bias towards relying on advice from other people. And how they did it was they had 1,500 people had to count people in a series of photographs. And the team said you can either count with just your own eyes, seeing it with your own eyes, or you can have a computer algorithm do it for you for the bigger picture, even though it was an easy one. And as the
we're lazy,
yes,
we're
that's
lazy.
It.
The
that's
bottom it. Line is we're lazy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think of what it used to be like trying to find a book in a library. How you had to go
to go somewhere to travel.
Right. I mean, my kids have never used a map.
Uh huh.
They're like, we've got it. And I'm like, but you don't understand the bigger layout of Minneapolis, St. Paul. I want you to see how the suburbs fit in. I want you to see the big, I used to preach.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, whatever, mom. I just put in an address and my phone takes me there. I'm like,
but except that there's, you can be traveling, as we found out when we went to the Kentucky Derby. We went through a whole swath. Thank God that lady brought it, gave us maps.
I know, but that was 10 years ago.
Yeah, but still, you know, there's a lot of times.
There are blank spots in the Twin Cities where you're from.
Or in the United States overall, when you're kind of in a, like if you ever do any kind of a road trip, you should have a map.
I like a map. I like to see it physically in the bigger picture. Yeah. You can't. I think it's hard to do that on your phone.
Rocco, you're going on a road trip. Yeah, we recommend you get a physical map.
Yeah, because we're going to be out in the Utah, you know, desert.
You don't know if there's going to be connect Wi-Fi.
Right.
You really don't.
No.
You do want to have a map.
I like a map.
Just to have it, and it's kind of fun, too. You know, you could make it be a game with your kids, and they can, it gives them a visual that they get that you can't get from just looking at GPS. Right. So.
But people don't, we don't have to think anymore. Not that much.
Right, right. Okay, so that's happening. Okay. Well, here.
Have you heard? Okay, go
here's
ahead.
Here's a theory. Jealousy can actually be a good thing when it comes to friendships.
Really? It makes people work harder?
Well, here's, this is Arizona State University.
Oh, my alma mater.
That's
for a year,
right.
Who kicked me out.
They found that jealousy motivates some people to behave differently because they place value on their friends. Friends aren't just fun. They're an important resource. And with everything going on in this world, friends give support during conflict, buffer against loneliness, blah, blah, blah. And so you don't think of it as being a good quality in any kind of a friendship, but jealous feelings tend to arise when another person enters the picture. So a friend having a new romantic interest, that is, or maybe a new fun work friend, right. That is a third party envy that you might have because you're
someone
just
like, interfering on your relationship. Yeah,
right. But people are more worried about a very good friend that spends more time with another friend than they are about a new work friend or a romantic partner. The third party threats to a friendship, it matters because the person could replace us as a friend, and it's getting jealous is sometimes a signal the friendship is threatened, and then that can help you jump into action to be a better friend so you don't lose that friend.
Well, that's a big one. I would agree with that.
Yeah. So we never thought, you know, we would see that, but yeah.
Makes you up your game.
Yes. Or maybe you realize you've kind of been a
lazy friend and you're the user, you know, you're the friend who always takes. Maybe it's time to give. I mean, this is only good.
I thought so. Yeah, I did too. Because you don't really like, maybe you might be jealous of a friend if they get a boyfriend or a girlfriend just because like, you two did everything together because you were both solo.
Right.
You know, but then eventually,
you'll be happy for them.
Right.
That's
right.
A good friend.
Yeah. And then always give yourself the 3-month rate. Don't take anything seriously till 3 months.
That's the rule.
That's what I say. That's don't worry rule. About somebody's dating, like if you need to meet them until they've been together 3 months.
Okay. That's a good rule.
Yeah. Well, it's not really a rule, but it's just a good theory because. Why get invested in somebody that may not be around?
Bingo.
This is kind of how my mom felt about son-in-laws. She didn't really get invested.
That's because Rocco, her sisters, were each married 4 times.
And then my mom had stepkids.
Yeah, she had so many son-in-laws.
I believe at last count it was 19 son-in-laws.
What?
Out of 3 daughters. 3 daughters.
No, not out of 3 daughters. 6 daughters, if you count the bonus siblings.
Kids. Okay.
But yes, my mom would never get too attached to anybody.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine?
19
because you keep turning over the son-in-laws. Can you even imagine?
Casey was lucky number 13.
Can you even imagine? Yeah. I'm not going to like this one. He's only going to be around a year.
No, my mom would always be really nice. And then she'd just say, we'll see how long this one lasts.
I mean,
she became very skeptical. As one does.
So.
As one does. All right. Listen, when we get back, we do have to talk about a couple of funny stories that we didn't get to.
I
think they're hot
so.
Pink. I wanted black. Lori wanted hot pink. She said, let's just scream fanny pack.
Yeah.
They're kind of cute. We've had socks. You know, when you think about that organization and how much, well, for any nonprofit, how much they don't have their fundraisers. So anyone who wants to be on our virtual team, we greatly appreciate it. because we learned the Susan G. Komen Reach for the Cure in the Twin Cities chapter, The Money Stays Here.
That's right.
And it goes to help people who have been diagnosed with breast cancer who can't afford to pay their heating bills or their rent or some other thing. You know, it's a very local, really great community yes. that supports women with breast cancer in our community. So we hope you sign up for it.
Okay, we have to talk
about
that. That
was painful for you to listen to really me was. Talk about it something was just for a second. Important. Boy, you're going to be ready for me to go.
No, I was just ready. I don't want to run out of time with this okay. Mick Jagger story.
Much more important than raising money.
Because he did an interview with BBC Six Music News following the release of his song, Easy Sleazy.
About getting vaccinated. It's been a year, get vaccinated.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's his new single that he did with Dave Grohl. And
it's good.
They asked him, I like the song too. The BBC asked him why he never finished writing his memoirs because he did have a deal to do his memoir.
When?
Well, he just said, I'm not going to finish it. It's simply dull and upsetting. And anyone want to read my memoir should just look me up in Wikipedia.
I like that.
Because apparently in 2017, this writer and publisher by the name of John Blake claimed to have a copy of Mick Jagger's unfinished manuscript and described it as a little masterpiece and asked about whether this would have been a good time in this last year to be writing that. And he said, I could have. It was a thing that people started doing, writing. I think in the 80s, I started it. I was offered a lot of money.
Right.
The money was seductive. But when I actually started to get into it, I really didn't enjoy it, reliving my life to the detriment of living now. And I just am never going to do it.
I like that.
Yeah.
I mean, that would just be pain. It would be such an arduous process of writing, going back, unless you had like the journals or you have some.
Well, look at Barbara Streisand's been working on hers forever. For 4 years.
I think it'd be
I don't
hard.
Think she enjoys it.
I wouldn't.
There's something about the here and now.
Well, you know, and some people are so good at writing memoirs.
Right.
You know, well, we've read a lot of good ones.
Yeah, Keith Richards was so good.
Yeah.
And but I think he, like, dictated that, and he also was a journal keeper.
Yeah, yeah. I know. And, like, Matthew McConaughey's was good, but his was just about certain moments and essays that he had already written down.
Yeah, I don't know that he considers that a memoir.
It isn't a memoir, mm-hmm. but I'm thinking of Jessica Simpson. Hers was a collection of parts of her life, but, I mean, when you're older, I feel like, oh, gosh.
Yeah.
That'd be a lot of work.
Well, Open, Andre Agassi, that was a great memoir.
That was a
memoir.
Great one. He wrote it when he was in his 30s. Yeah. That was a great
memoir. I think he was older than that. I think he was in his 40s when he put that book out.
That was a great book, Laurie.
Yeah, it really was. So anyway.
And Christopher Reeves was really good, and he wrote it after he had the horse accident, mm-hmm. and he read it to you. I mean, that was powerful. Yeah, I had it on CDs.
No, we're just going to have to go with the unauthorized biographies written about him. And also, I think for Mick, maybe part of the reason is he's afraid of even though he could have a fact checker, he's afraid of getting children and mothers mixed up.
Well, right. Because he was very active, and there were a lot of drugs that were used, and times
might
be blurry.
He's like your mom with 19 sons-in-law.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, he could do the storytelling technique that Keith Richards did for the time periods when he was just too wasted. And
he just said this was a blur?
No, he turned over storytelling to somebody else.
Who was there who could remember?
Yes.
Think of how many stories, my word.
And it didn't happen a lot in that book, but it did happen a few times.
You know what would be fun is if a ghostwriter wanted to partner with him and just sent out something to some influential people that were part of his life, part of the rock and roll scene, share a story, and then they all wrote stories about it.
Yeah.
I think that'd be kind of a fun way to read a memoir.
Maybe.
This is when I met Mick. He wouldn't remember it, but, you know, blah, blah, blah.
See, you're such a Virgo. You're even coming up with a solution for Mick's memoir.
But I would like to read that.
Right, right.
You know, here is, you know, Barbara Streisand's encounter with Mick Jagger. Here is Carly Simon's. You know, here is I'd love to read that.
Yeah.
I think that'd be interesting.
But
it's just an idea.
It is.
I'm floating it out there.
And then Mick is getting in those dang NFT things. for charity.
This is apparently the new money laundering scandal of the century, NFTs.
The NFT.
That was, I read something in the Wall Street Journal, money laundering capital.
I mean, The Weeknd last weekend made $2 million last week selling video graphics with a bit of a new song.
Yeah.
I still don't get the whole non-fungible tokens.
Well, you don't know. It's a digital piece of something, mm-hmm. history.
And I even read in Vanity Fair the whole Bitcoin thing, and I still don't understand that.
I understand that one.
Yeah.
It's just, it's...
Anyway.
We're past gold bars, Laurie,
I know.
We're no longer exchanging coins.
He and
coins.
Dave Grohl are trying to raise money for charity by selling... He's added a 3D artist, and it's this audio-visual thing that they're doing with NFTs for this song, Easy Sleazy, but... I don't even know what that means.
Well, you go and you buy it and you can watch it. It's only for people who are going to buy it, basically.
Yeah. Okay, get that.
Are you still here?
Yeah, but he doesn't know what an NFT is anymore than we do.
I'm confused by that, too. I've given up on that.
All right.
Yeah. We know that cash goes and you get a non... Just the word non-fungible...
It pisses me off. It sounds like a mushroom. It sounds like fungi.
It sounds like a word I don't want to say on the radio because
like
I'm afraid
moist.
I'm going to mess up.
Well,
non-fungible.
It means it's non-refundable and it's not. You're not going to be able to see it, carry it.
You can't share it.
What's the difference between fungible and tangible?
Well, tangible is something real. Something like your phone is tangible. Yeah. Money is tangible.
Fungible, non-fungible is...
It's in your mind.
No, it's a graphic that you own only on a... Yeah, whatever.
It is a graphic.
I know
very
it
good.
Is.
You're explaining it, but
I'm
you pay money for
people,
the graphic.
But you can't share it. You only own a second of it.
All right, we got to go. See you.
Just done. Off you go.